The show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. And today and tomorrow and Friday, we'll be spending a lot of time talking about the third annual Jazz Fest at the Iron Post, which is a bar in downtown Urbana, which hosts very regular live music with a special attention to jazz. The festival actually began on Sunday with the Heartland Jazz Orchestra. Last night, the Easton Stewart Jazz Duo was there. And tonight, it'll be the Parkland Early Jazz Orchestra. We'll continue then through Saturday. And we've got conversations with two folks involved in Friday and Saturday's show, respectively. John Campbell, jazz pianist, will be here with his trio, along with other folks on that evening as well. And Mick Templeton has his West Coast Blues playing at the very end of the festival on Saturday. It's Live and Local. Lots of jazz today. Stay with us. Thank you. Tune called Prayer Meeting by Jimmy Smith, and it's played by Mick Templeton's West Coast Blues Ensemble. They were live at the Iron Post, which is where they will be live again on Saturday night at 10 o'clock to round out the third annual Iron Post Jazz Festival. The Iron Post is in downtown Urbana on Race Street at Elm Street. The festival actually started on Sunday and continues through Saturday night with live jazz every night, including tonight at 7 o'clock, the Parkland Early Jazz Orchestra. Tomorrow night, it's Jay Sawyer's Quintet and the Jeff Helgeson Quintet at 5 and 7 o'clock, respectively. Thursday night, U of I Concert Jazz Band is at 7, and the Eastern Steward Quartet is at 10 o'clock. And then on Friday, they have the group called Jazz Sextet, with Ray Sasaki and his colleagues, and then John Campbell's trio. John Campbell will be my guest on the second portion of today's program, coming up about 8:25. And then Dan Pearson's trio, they'll be live on the show on Friday. And then on Saturday, last I knew, somebody still to come in on the 2 o'clock slot, if they manage to fill that, a group at 4 o'clock called Condition Blue. And then the U of I Jazz faculty, playing at 7 o'clock. They'll be on our show live tomorrow. And finally, Mick Templeton's West Coast Blues. Mick Templeton is with us here in the studio. He's the sax player for the group, and also George Turner, who plays guitar. Thank you both very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
It's been a while since we've had you here, and usually you're playing live. Here you're sitting in the booth, and we have the live recording from the Iron Post of the whole band. Tell me a couple things, Mick. How many are in the group, and what's the instrumentation? Let's start with that.
Okay. Well, originally there were only six, but more recently we've added a seventh as a vocalist. Instrumentation is two saxophones, tenor or alto, guitar, which George Turner here plays, piano, bass, drums, and then, of course, the vocalist.
I didn't count.
I didn't count seven, did I? No, I think
that's seven. Yeah,
is that seven? Well, we can do it again because I'm going to ask you to name who they are. Because I'm kind of curious to know if you have overlap with some of the other groups. Because I know that there is overlap with the various groups that are playing the rest of the festival.
Oh, there's certainly a lot of overlap. A lot of the musicians that play in the West Coast Blues Ensemble are U of I students, also local musicians. So you're getting a lot of overlap between us and, you know, other ensembles here in town and at the Iron Post Jazz Festival. So you're going to be seeing a lot of the same folks.
So you play alto usually?
I play tenor usually.
You do play tenor, mm-hmm. Okay. And then who's the alto player?
The alto player for Saturday is a good friend of mine. He's going to be new to the band, actually. His name is Matt Munessis, and he's a first-year master's student at the U of I Jazz program. But on that recording you just heard, that was actually Mike Finolio, a great alto and actually great tenor player as well. And he's a doctoral candidate in jazz studies at U of I.
Okay, so then we have George on the guitar, George Turner on the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The pianist on that recording was Dan Pearson. Sometimes Dan plays, sometimes another great pianist named Easton Stewart plays. He was actually probably one of the original pianists of the group, and Easton will be playing on Saturday. On that recording, Kareem Yangsep, which we all know and love, he's a great bass player and a great friend of mine and George's. We played in Bossa Nuevo together a couple years back. Matt Andres is on the drums.
So Kareem is going to be here on Saturday?
He is not, actually. He just graduated. I saw him yesterday, two days ago. Excuse me, that's already Tuesday. So he will not be there on Saturday.
Because he was back for a reunion. I saw a list for a reunion performance of one of his groups.
That's right, the CU Hard Bop Collective. Yeah, it's kind of his second child, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but Sam Peters, another local, U of I student, another local bass player, will be playing bass for us on Saturday.
Okay, that's five.
That's five.
You're a drummer.
Yes. Perhaps it is only six.
Who's your drummer?
Oh, my drummer is Matt Andres.
Okay, and he was on that recording?
Yes, he was.
And then your vocalist.
And our vocalist.
That makes seven, yeah.
So that's seven.
Oh, okay.
You did count.
Okay,
yeah.
See,
yeah.
I can do, I can
Fair
still
enough.
Count. Okay, good.
So my second question, that was sort of a long first question. The second question, what are the West Coast blues? What's that refer to?
Oh, boy. It's just kind of, it, well,
is
it's
that
kind
a
of cheesy. It's kind of a gimmick. The first gig we had, four of the original members, all had roots in the West Coast. I grew up in San Francisco. Eastern Stewart grew up in Eureka, California. Kareem spent a lot of time in Portland, Oregon. And Clark Gibson, another fantastic alto player and tenor player, spent a lot of time in Seattle, Washington. So it's just a gimmick.
So it doesn't really have to do with
not necessarily
blues as played on the West Coast. Like, this is a style that you guys are doing.
No, not at all.
Well, there's a song by Wes Montgomery called West Coast Blues.
That's true. That is true. That
are we going to play that on Saturday?
I think we might have to, just because, yeah, yeah. You know, we got to give some credibility to our name here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Use that as like a little break tune or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, exactly.
Is that in your repertoire?
That it will be by Saturday.
Well, that's the amazing thing about jazz players. If any of you know the tune, then everybody else can. Well, most of you need to know the tune at least somewhat, or at least know the changes, right?
Exactly, changes. That's correct.
I thought I read somewhere that you were originally from South Carolina, at least spent time from South Carolina.
Oh, I did spend some time in South Carolina. I finished high school in South Carolina, but I actually, elementary school and part of middle school was in California. I was born in California, and then I moved when I was 13 to South Carolina. So
that explains that.
That's my South Carolina, I guess.
I think that was a bio that I read in one of Kareem Yangsep's groups that I just picked up right before the show. So you never know what if information you find anywhere on the web is true or not.
It's at least partially true.
Yeah, well, glad to hear it. So, I mean, this has really become quite a vibrant jazz scene. I was talking. The interview that you're going to hear with John Campbell later, which I actually did yesterday to tell you the truth, we were talking a bit about jazz, some of the jazz clubs that used to be in Champaign-Urbana that aren't around anymore. I mean, they're just closed and long gone. The venues don't even exist. And Iron Post has really sort of taken up the slack as the jazz venue in Champaign-Urbana.
It really has. It really has. Yeah. I wasn't around here when Nature's Table was, you know, still in existence, but that seems to be a very famous and very, you know, well, or a very missed place here in town amongst the local, you know, musicians and you know, just local citizens of Champaign-Urbana in general. But I was not here for that. But
they closed up right after I got here.
Oh, is that right?
I've heard different dates for it. I got here in 91, and I remember walking into the place one time. But I never did hear any jazz there, and it closed right around there. And then there was a place called Mabel's down in Campus Town, which isn't there anymore. I'm forgetting a third one that John mentioned. And then Zorba's, of course, has had jazz, and then they burned.
They burned, that's right. But they're coming back to life now.
Yeah,
they're rebuilding. They've
rode
rebuilt.
By there the
I think
other
they
day.
They already have, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like are they open again?
Yeah, I believe they're either open or they'll definitely be open by the fall. And I'm hoping that, you know, the owners will continue to have music there in the fall, because that was definitely a Thursday night staple. You know, all, you know, students and local citizens alike, you know, we all went there every Thursday and enjoyed a lot of great music there. So I really sincerely hope that it comes back.
Yeah, well, we'll have to find out. We'll have to find out who's the people to talk to and get the word. We've got a couple of other tracks you brought along from Live at the Iron Post with West. Do you just call it, is the official name Mick Templeton's West Coast Blues?
No, I just call it West Coast Blues Ensemble. Paul just throws that in there just to, you know, to give a qualifier on it, you know. Who runs it, I guess, but no, it's, you don't have to put my
name
on it.
Well, it's like Eastern Stewart Quartet.
Right, exactly. No, but my name is not officially part of the spiel. Yeah.
Okay, but you're on there anyway. So what do you want to hear next from here?
I don't know, George, do you want to hear something slow or kind of a little more upbeat?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, we can just do the next one.
Sure.
Go for something slow and then go back to something upbeat.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Okay.
This is our track two from here.
Yes.
Which is what?
This is a famous composition from New Orleans called Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans?
I've heard of that one. So this is live at the Iron Post, which will be obvious from the start. West Coast Blues Ensemble here on Live and Local. Solo by George Turner with the West Coast Blues, who were at the Iron Post. Do you have any idea when that was recorded? Do you remember?
That was exactly, well, actually, I know the exact date. That was, I believe, April 8th, 2011, so a little over a year ago.
And how long has the ensemble been going?
about a year and a half. I think I started it actually, fall of 2010. So it's so a year and a half, I suppose.
Yeah. And pretty steady membership at the time?
Well, that's actually an interesting question because the way I actually run the band is I have books of music, basically, that are, I can use any musician I want of my choosing, I suppose. There were original members, but, you know, if I want to play with another guitarist or if, like, George can't make a gig or for something like that, for whatever reason, I can always hire another guitarist and he can read the music and do just fine. And that's how I intended it because it's...
Is that because of the way you've written the charts?
Yes, yeah. And also just the way the music is. I like to have variety of musicians because every musician is going to bring their unique perspective. And it's jazz, but it's very blues influenced and everybody has their own way of playing the blues. And I really enjoy the variety. So, no, there is no set membership to the group, except for me.
Which is why probably Paul Wirth, who runs the Iron Post, called it Mick Templeton's West Coast Blues. Why not?
Exactly.
And this is, they are in the midst of the third annual Iron Post Jazz Festival downtown Urbana. Started on Sunday, continues through Saturday night. The West Coast Blues will be the last thing up at 10 o'clock. I saw a possible mention of something starting at midnight. I don't know if that'll happen.
Oh.
Or not.
After my gig?
I saw like a time listed, but nobody there. So maybe maybe you end it at midnight.
Yeah, I think Paul is leaving it a little bit, a little open just because, the faculty are playing right before me and they may or may not end right at 10 o'clock. So the approximate starting time is about 10 and we'll probably go till about 12. So there might be a little bit of, give and take though.
Could be a little later, yeah.
Exactly.
So we're not going to have all of the people who are on the festival suddenly come and jam at midnight on Saturday.
Oh, I'd be okay with that, but yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah, George, while you were listening, you had said to us while we were listening to that last cut that you hadn't actually listened to that before. How do you feel when you listen to yourself? You probably don't get the chance very often.
Well, it just depends, I guess.
How did you feel right there? Did you do all right?
I felt okay about it. There was a few things I didn't like, but most of it I liked.
I assume jazz musician is just as critical as any other kind of musician if you hear yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you definitely. Sort of have to be in a way,
But it's not
as
quite
long as you're not too self-critical.
That's right.
I mean, it's harder for you to say, given that so much is improv, well, I didn't play the right note there, or I didn't play that quite in tune. I mean, yeah, you want to be in the key and you want to be in tune, but it's not. It's a little different than saying, well, I didn't do what was on the page.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And can you even say, I didn't do what was in my head, because how would you remember?
Well...
Or do you?
Well, there are certain... I'm sure George can attest to this as well. When I've listened to recordings of myself, I'm like, wow, that was kind of... I should have done that a lot better. Or, this note or whatever that was a poor choice. But sometimes, those mistakes make... It keeps you human, definitely. So it makes you aware and of things you need to work on. But you're right. In terms of improvisation, oftentimes wrong notes can be part of what's beautiful. So that's definitely true in jazz and in a lot of improvised music.
Part of the spontaneity of it.
Exactly.
Definitely.
You can call it a blue note in jazz.
Yeah, there you go. Right on. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have just time to play a little bit of another selection you brought along. And I think you said this is maybe a little more typical of what you do.
Yeah, this is just absolutely. This is a classic Duke Ellington composition called Things Ain't What They Used to Be. And it's a slower, not slow, but it's, I would say, a medium tempo blues in the key of G, which is a great key. And I'm sure George loves the key of G as well.
Yeah.
He does love the key of G. G for George. This is definitely typical of what you would hear on Saturday. So I hope you enjoy it.
West Coast Blues, Mick Templeton and George Turner, my guest, this portion of Live and Local. They'll be playing on Saturday night at 10 o'clock or so at the conclusion of the third annual Iron Post Jazz Fest. This is Live and Local. Ellington featuring Mick Templeton on the tenor sax with his West Coast Blues Ensemble here on Live and Local. Support for our show today comes from Amasong, Champaign-Urbana's premier lesbian feminist chorus, with their annual spring concert on May 19th and 20th at McKinley Presbyterian Church, 809 South 5th in Champaign, supported in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, a state agency. Details are available at amasong.org. Tonight at 7 o'clock in the evening concert on FM 90.9, it's another Shakespeare-themed program from the Chicago Symphony. Sir Mark Elder guest conducting a program which includes Elgar's Falstaff, Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet, and Bernstein's West Side Story Symphonic Dances. It's the Chicago Symphony, tonight at 7 on the evening concert on FM 90.9. Our program today is made possible in part by a grant from St. Joseph Apothecary in St. Joseph, a full-service pharmacy specializing in compounding medications to meet individual patient needs. St. Joseph Apothecary invites you to join them in supporting WILL. Stay tuned next for my conversation with jazz pianist John Campbell, who will be at the Iron Post on Friday night. There was a tune called Four in One by Thelonious Monk, as played by pianist John Campbell, bassist Jay Anderson, and drummer Billy Drummond, from the album called Working Out. It was recorded in 1993. It wasn't released until 2001 on the Concord label. And I am pleased to have John Campbell on the phone with me right now. He's going to be performing on the Iron Post Jazz Fest, the third annual Jazz Fest at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. He'll be on Friday night's show, along with a bunch of other people. His trio starting up at 8:30, and we're catching him as he's sitting in Chicago at the moment. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. I have to tell you that the Working Out record is on a Dutch label called Crisscross, and it was recorded in 2000. So I'm not sure.
So I got some bad info somewhere.
I guess.
Yeah, okay. Well, I might have misread the info that I got. It was interesting trying to piece together somebody who you know you're going to talk to, whose Wikipedia entry is really short, but then I dug up some other information, but... it's always nice for an interviewer to have some information about the person you're going to talk to, even though you'll eventually ask the person you're talking to tell you the real scoop.
Right, exactly.
But so. Part of the real scoop, which I assume is a matter of a truthful record, is that you're actually from Bloomington, Illinois.
I am. I am indeed. I left when I was 21 in 1976 and moved up to Chicago for about 8 years. And then I moved to New York for about 13 years, moved back to Chicago in 1997 for about 4 years, and then just couldn't deal with the weather anymore, so... moved out to California in 2001.
And of course, that's the matter of moving around record, but the really important part is all the music you've been doing that time. You read that particularly people associate with you with Mel Torme. You played with him as his pianist for, what, about 4 years from 86? Mm-hmm. And Clark Terry, great trumpeter, for about 10
yeah.
years.
I was with him off and on basically for about, around 10 years.
Starting, we went on tour with him in 1981, so what, into the early 90s, something you were with him?
Well, the tour with him in 81 was when I was still living in Chicago, and so then when I moved to New York in 84, I called him, I had trouble getting a hold of him. For a while, I finally got a hold of him, and then he started calling me. So from about 1984 to about 1994, I was with him quite a bit, off and on, and was able to sandwich his gigs in with Mel's gigs during the period that I was with Mel. So hardly any overlap with those things. It was actually worked out pretty well.
And lots of other people in between. Well, why don't you talk a little bit about what you have found to be some of your most memorable collaborations? If you can pick some out.
Well, just as far as working with people, I had a short tenure. I only played 10 gigs with Stan Getz, but it was really special, and I was filling in for Jim McNeely at the time, and so that was terrific. I did a couple of records with Terry Gibbs and Buddy DeFranco, the bebop legends, and so I'm still in touch with both of them. They're still around, fortunately, both of them, and I played with Terry, about a year or 2 years ago on a festival out in California, and that led to working with Johnny Mandel, one of the great songwriters and arrangers, who is also fortunately still with us. So I've been playing with Johnny's band whenever he works, which is very seldom, but still a big thrill. I've got a chance to work with Eddie Jefferson back in 1979, just before he was killed. And the next to last gig that he did was videotaped at the Jazz Showcase, and that's actually commercially available.
Now tell me about him. I don't know his name.
Eddie Jefferson was a singer, and his contribution to the music was he was one of the main guys responsible for a vocal ease, which is a term which means that he would take jazz solos off of record, existing jazz solos by different guys, and write lyrics to the solos. So in other words, he would take Charlie Parker's solo from Billy's Bounce or Now's the Time and write lyrics to Bird's solo. Or Miles, So What, or Dizzy, or James Moody, and actually he was the guy that wrote Moody's Mood for Love, which was based on a James Moody alto saxophone solo on I'm in the Mood for Love that Moody did way, way back. And so then that became a hit for another singer named King Pleasure, but Eddie was the one that actually wrote it, as far as I know. I mean, Eddie was responsible for it. And so he was really, really an innovator, and still to this day, not a lot of people really know about him. It's kind of a shame, but he was a big, big contributor to the music in his way.
So then after him...
Well, that was during the first time that I lived in Chicago, and my trio with Kelly Sill and Joel Spencer on bass and drums, respectively, we got a chance to work with a few different people that came through town. We worked with Red Rodney, we worked with Eddie Harris. We worked with Dave Liebman, we were kind of a built-in rhythm section for different guys that would come through town. So the thing with Eddie Jefferson and Eddie Hare, I mean, they were just little weekends here and there, or a week-long gig at the Showcase or something. And then three of us also... had a band with Ed Peterson, the saxophonist, who lives down in New Orleans now, but Ed also went to the Dubai, as did Kelly and Joel. I was the black sheep, kind of. I went to Illinois State, just I stayed in Bloomington and went to college. But then I came over to Champaign often and used to play at Trino's and First, you know, in the mid-70s. And then once we moved up, we all kind of migrated up to Chicago and then started coming down to Champaign to play gigs. We played at Nature's Table and Mabel's and hung out at Zorba's and, you know, some all of the jazz haunts in the late 70s, early 80s period.
Yeah, these are all jazz haunts, all of them gone now. I mean, Zorba's just recently gone by virtue of, or not virtue is the wrong word, but because there was a fire there. You probably heard about that.
Oh, man.
Maybe not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Trino's closed some time ago. Nature's Table, right about the time I got down here, around 91, I think.
I just got a tape of a set that we did of Mabel's in, I want to say, 1979 or something like that. We came down, Kelly and Joel and I came down with Ron Dewar, another U of I legend, and we played down there a few times, and I just got a tape of one of those gigs, and it was great to hear. Ron, who is just a master, you know, unbelievable. Well, so,
well, let me ask you a little bit about making a jazz career these days. Sort of with his background that in Champaign, Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, which had used to be a really have a bunch of active jazz clubs, and now I'd say has one active jazz club, which is where you're going to be playing, is mm-hmm. at the Iron Post, and lots of things going on there. But is that does what's going on in Champaign-Urbana parallel what's going on in the big cities where you've hung out, Chicago, New York, and now Los Angeles?
Well, I would say, yeah, it's pretty indicative of the whole scene. I know it's shrunk in L.A. Certainly, it's just dreadful. It's, you know, it's hardly any place to play anymore. And the same thing for Chicago, in a way. New York, New York still seems to have a nice nucleus of clubs that are still around, but I think it's even that it has dwindled quite a bit from what it used to be. So it's not a great time. You know, it's hard to get gigs. So guys have to travel to make any money unless you're teaching or, you know, otherwise involved. So it's rough. It's rough out there.
I want to pick up the trail of your career after we hear a little bit more music. This is also from the Working Out CD. Album. I mean, I didn't even get it off CD. Got it off iTunes. This is a tune of Herbie Hancock's called Maiden Voyage. Just a little bit here with John Campbell piano. He's my guest on Live and Local. Jay Anderson bass and Billy Drummond on drums. John will be at the Iron Post as part of the Jazz Festival for an 8:30 gig on Friday night in downtown Urbana. Thank you. It's Herbie Hancock's tune Maiden Voyage with John Campbell and his trio from the album called Working Out from 2001. And he'll be at the Iron Post with what's being billed as the John Campbell Trio, at least here. And I think, John, that you're bringing down at least one of the people who were in your original trio when you were in Chicago the first time around, Joel Spencer, right?
Well, yeah, I'm not exactly bringing him down. He's already was going to be down there playing the set before with Morgan and Ray Sasaki, I think, and I'm not sure if Holly Smith is on that set too, but he was going to be down there anyway, so we just figured out that it would be the natural thing for him to just stay and play the next set with me. And we're also going to play with Matt Hughes, who's a very talented bass player that is living in Champaign at the moment and apparently was in New York for quite a long time and was actually there. We overlapped about 4 years, I think, but never met or never ran into each other or knew about each other at all. So this will be kind of a meeting, you know, after the fact. So, you know, so I'm really looking forward to it.
So this is something that you guys will group that day and just play.
We'll group it probably on the bandstand.
Yeah,
you know.
That's one of the things that never ceases to amaze me about jazz players can do things like that. You, of course, you and Joel, of course, have a history. Have you worked with him at all for a long time?
It's been a minute. I don't I can't even remember the last time we played together. It's been a while. But that, you know, our communication level has always been like we have always known each other, even from the very first time that I met him and played with him, which was at, I think Joel was living there at the time. This was in 1972 or something, and he was living with Ken Ferrantino in some house, and our friend Harold Mann, who's a drummer that also went to U of I. I had met Harold at a jazz camp at Purdue University, and Harold transferred to the U of I and, you know, came over to Bloomington and picked me up because I don't even know if I was driving at that point. Came over and picked me up and brought me over to Champaign and took me around and to visit everybody and meet everybody. And that's where I met Ed Peterson. And I had already known Kelly through Harold. Met Kelly Sill in 1970. And so then I came over, he took me over to this house that Ken Ferrantino and Joel were living, and I met Joel and we played, and it was just like it was meant to be from the get-go. So Joel and I have always had a very special hookup.
So people will get to discover, and you'll get to discover if that that communication is still just right there where it always was before.
I'm not too worried about it. You know?
Well, you were.
You know, we listen to the same records in a lot of instances, and have done our homework kind of in the same way. You know, so you know it's like riding a bike, I think.
Well, what do you mean by when you say you've done your homework in the same way? How do you do your homework?
You know, studied the same records and styles and to the degree that we've studied, you know, older forms of jazz and newer outside free music, and you know, so we have a wide variety to dip into, you know, of vocabulary, jazz vocabulary. So, you know, we we've hung out a lot and listened to records a lot, and so we, you know, it all kind of goes hand in hand with playing together, is what you listen to and what you draw from inspirationally and whatnot. So
coming back to the trail of your career, it's sort of, at least in what I've been able to read anyway, it goes cold when you go to Los Angeles. What have you been doing there, especially since you just described it as not a great jazz town?
Well, it's really, it's right now is it's just kind of slow. I've got a little steady Saturday solo gig that I do. But other than that, not a whole lot going on. I've been sub-teaching at USC for four or five different faculty members, which is great because I'm kind of like the utilities guy, you know, when they go on the road or whatnot. So I've been able to fill in for them, and that certainly helps out. And then a little one-night giglets here and there. But it's been rough. You know, I've been having to dip into the till a little bit. So
what happened that, you know, the guy who's worked with all these great people has to do giglets?
Well, everybody has to do giglets. I mean, that's you know, those are kind of the fun little things that happen from time to time. It's just, by that I mean, it's not a steady gig or a major concert necessarily. It's just a, you know, a party here and there, or a little one-off jazz club deal, or I don't know. I think for me, it's a combination of things. I don't have an electric keyboard. I just have not had one for about 30 years. I'll play it if it's there, but I don't even like to really borrow them because, you know, if something goes wrong, then it's on you. So, you know, so I don't tote around my own equipment. I just kind of play the piano for the most part. I've been taking a sabbatical for the most part from accompanying and doing singer gigs. It took me away from jazz playing, which is really what I want to do. I mean, all of a sudden you get sort of into this other groove with accompanying, and you know, it's fun to do, but it's not exactly what I want to do, you know, ultimately. So I haven't been doing those gigs for the most part. Although I did a gig with Roberta Gamberini in January up in San Jose, and that was fun. She's very talented. But as a rule, I haven't been doing singer gigs. I don't have a keyboard. I don't have email, so I don't really. A lot of people just don't make phone calls anymore. So
yeah, that's true.
If that's the way, you know, if they have to do it that way, and you know, but I still have a phone, so you know, I can't explain that.
Well, I found you that way. Yeah. I read in one article somewhere that part of the issue is that a lot of the people that you've worked with over the years are either dead, dying, or really old.
Well, yeah, that's true. Fortunately, I do get a chance to play with younger guys who they kind of appreciate, you know, what I've been doing and whom I've been playing with and whatnot. There's a drummer named Kevin Canner that just moved to New York. He's a very, very good drummer. And so he had a quintet for a while when he was in California, and I played a few gigs with him. So there are fortunately younger guys that I'm able to play with and you know, where I used to be the youngest guy in the bandstand, now I'm like the oldest guy sometimes. You know.
And we'll hasten to say that you are certainly not old.
Well, thanks. I'm getting there.
You're only about 6 years older than me, I think.
Okay.
So I don't consider myself old.
Okay.
Not even close.
Well, I'm fighting it like hell, believe me.
Yeah, know? Well, that's the thing to do, is just keep fighting it.
Right, exactly.
Well, we will be very privileged to have you in our community again.
Thank you.
This weekend.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be great to hear you. John Campbell will be with drummer Joel Spencer, bassist Matt Hughes, as part of the Iron Post Jazz Fest this week. He's going to be there Friday evening, downtown Urbana. His part starts at 8:30, and he promises that there'll be some other folks jamming as well after the trio portion of things. Let's go out with another tune from the album Working Out. Again, it's John Campbell piano with bassist Jay Anderson and drummer Billy Drummond. And this is a nice driving tune by Chick Corea. It's called Steps. John Campbell, thanks very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thanks so much, Kevin. Appreciate it.